Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this morning, we're in our series on the greatest commandment, and it is a glorious subject to talk about. And so I am so thankful for a season of time to camp out on the love of God and then our reciprocation of that love back to him. And this session is entitled, Like He Loves the Son. So this is session 6 in our Greatest Commandment series, Like He Loves the Son. Now, before we get into what the real focus is of where we're going to be heading this morning in the message, I want us to start talking about how God feels about Jesus. How the Father feels about his Son. What does he think? How does his emotions, you know, how are they wrapped up? How are his affections? First, I want to give you a verse in Proverbs that I just love. It's one of many Old Testament whispers. There are many whispers in the Old Testament about the Father's love for his Son. And this verse is just one of those little whispers. It doesn't say it so clear you couldn't look at it and go, this is absolutely talking about God's love for Jesus. But man, it's in there. There are these little whispers. That the Lord is a poet. He loves to speak in parables. He loves to layer things. He loves to just give little hints here and there of his thoughts and affections and his emotions. I love this verse, Proverbs 3:12. The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. I just imagine as Solomon was writing it, the father's just looking over at Jesus like, oh, I delight in you, son. I can't imagine it going any other way. Solomon, Mr. Wisdom, is down there writing the very counsel of God, and he's writing about this, the way that a father delights in the son. I just see the father's heart just welling up in love for his son. Well, by the time we get to the New Testament, and there's plenty of other references in the Old Testament, but by the time we get to the New Testament, it's just out there. It's clear. It's overt. The love of the Father for the Son is made known. It is clear. I'm going to give you a few verses, a few thought processes here in the New Testament. John 5:20, if we can get John. Yeah, look at that, man. That's lickety-split back there. Okay, so John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Now, a couple of points on this. One, it's obvious the Father loves the Son. That is the key takeaway. But I like here how it's linked to something specific. One of the ways that the Father expresses how he feels about the Son is he shows him everything that he does. It's one of the ways that the Father expresses his love is in showing the Son all the plans. Showing him all of his purposes, all the movements of his heart. He shows him everything that he does. You guys remember Jesus' words, I'm saying, I can only do what I see the Father doing. I do nothing without what I see the Father doing first. The plans of God are being revealed to the Son, and part of that is an expression of love. All right, John 3:35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Another expression of love. He's not just given the Son the access to his plans, he's actually given him authority over them. He says he's placed everything into the hands of the Son. I mean, so the Son is like a really big deal to the Father. A really big deal in heaven. Everybody knows the Son. If you're in heaven, you don't know who the Son is, you're not in heaven. I mean, I don't know where you are. You're someplace else. He's a really big deal up there. He's a really big deal down here. The Father loves the Son. And he shows him everything, and he places into his hands all things, all decisions, all matters. This is, I mean, intention. This is expressed love and trust and affection, partnership. The Father loves the Son. He loves the Son because the Son is fully obedient. He lays down his life. Look at this, John 10:15-17. The Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Check this, though. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life. It's Jesus in full obedience. Because remember, the Father shows the Son all the plans. So the son knows, uh-oh, the way this ends is me on a cross. I mean, this is, Father, I love you. You're showing me all your plans. You're entrusting me with everything. Okay, I guess I'm going to go with the plan. The plan equals me dying on a cross at the end of this deal. And the son does it willingly. And Jesus said, the Father loves me because I obey him. I follow him. I do what he says. Even to the point of death on a cross, I'm going to go there. The Father loves me because I lay down my life. Oh, it's just incredible. You see this love relationship? It's mutual, though. See, it's Jesus. He's saying, I know my Father. I know the plans. I've got the whole picture. My love for the Father, it's informed. It's not uninformed. It's informed love. And the Father loves me. You see the way Jesus talks about it just so openly? He loves me. The Father loves me. I'm loved by the Father. The Father is really, really into me. This is Jesus just walking around talking to people. It's like, hey, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. The Father loves me, you know. Where did you get that, man? We were talking about the weather. Well, I'm just sorry. I'm just loved by the Father. I don't know about you. The Father loves me. Can you imagine having this as like a holy preoccupation in your life? Where you just can't go for a day without talking about how much God loves you? This is someone who understands the story. This is the holy love affair. Jesus loves the Father and talks about him. And the Father loves the Son and talks about him. I love this verse in Colossians because it's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit got a very poetic, beautiful phrase into the New Testament that if we'll pay attention to, I think it just really informs what's going on down here. Look at this. Paul in Colossians 1 verse 13. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. What if we started thinking about the kingdom, not just as the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son he loves, the kingdom of the loved Son, the kingdom of beloved Jesus, the kingdom that belongs to Jesus who has all the affections of the Father. This is the kingdom. I don't know about you, but man, this helps me see the kingdom of God brighter, better, clearer, loverer. It just, you see it through the lens of the way that the Father sees it. The kingdom of the Son that he loves. It's not just the kingdom of God. That's true. It is. It's the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Because remember, he gives the Son all authority. He loves the Son because the Son obeys. It's the kingdom of the Son, but not just the Son. Paul just couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit just like, I just imagine the Holy Spirit like sticking Paul right as he was trying to write. He's like, oh, the Son he loves. He was going to write just the kingdom. It's, oh, this kingdom of the Son he loves. Like he just kind of threw it in there. The Holy Spirit's like, that's right. I got you. And then it's documented forever for us to reference the kingdom of God through that lens. The kingdom that we belong to is the kingdom of the Son that is loved by the Father. This is awesome. I just thinking about the way God likes God. How cool, how powerful, how beautiful, how unifying, how pleasant, pleasing, excellent, and praiseworthy. Sounds like something we ought to think about. I like it. All right. Well, now, buckle up. If this is not an idea you've given much thought to, this is going to cause you great theological problems. You are about to have a real problem with your Bible, with your soul, with God. You are about to have a real problem. John 17, 23 says this, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to complete unity or perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and that you loved them just as you loved me. That you loved wicked people. You love them like you love the Son of God. The way that the Father loves you is the way that he loves Jesus. How can that possibly be true? And yet it is. From the mouth of Jesus himself. Father, I want you to show them you feel about them the way you feel about me. Guys, this is, when we get this, I mean even entry point level understanding of this point, this changes everything. The way that God feels about you is the same way he feels about his perfect son who's obedient, who died for you. This cannot be. This simply cannot be true. I mean, loves us kind of like, or loves us like one millionth as much. He loves you just like he loves Jesus Christ. The Father loves you and thinks about you the way that he thinks about his perfect son. Why would he do that? Has he met me? Oh, I know all your thoughts. I know all your ways. You can't possibly know that thing I did yesterday. Yep, I know. And I love you the way I love my son. You know, I think if we're having a bad day, it's because we're thinking about the wrong thing. I think it's because we've lost perspective on what's real and true and matters. You are loved by the creator of everything and the word everything, like he feels about himself. He loves you like he loves his son. So what? Whatever happened last week? I mean, really? What? COVID-19? Are you kidding me? You're loved like God loves Jesus. That's insanity. That's blasphemous. That's crazy. And yet, we didn't come up with this idea. It came out of the mouth of Jesus himself. He said, I want them to understand that you feel about them the way that you feel about me. Because if they'll understand that, it will change everything for them. It'll change the way they see themselves. It'll change the way they see each other. Because if you can get it about yourself, then the second hard one is seeing the person that annoys you the same way. God loves them the way that he loves you. When he sees that annoying person, he sees Jesus. I mean, that level of affection and love and like, dang, this is a real problem. This changes things. Because I thought there was good folk and bad folk. And I thought for sure I was in the bad folk category. I just thought that's how it was. And God says, I see you through the lens of my son. 2 Peter 1:17. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Think about that. Think about the Father interrupting planet Earth's normal activities and broadcast. And from heaven speaks out of the sky, this is my son. I think it was so much more affectionate that this is my son. Oh, I can imagine barely even getting words out. Just so much owing. Oh, I'm so pleased with him. This is my son. This is how the Father feels about Jesus. This is how the Father feels about you. I feel like all of our problems are just an issue of perspective. It's like we're just believing lies that are unnecessary and inaccurate. We're believing lies about a Tuesday, lies about our job, lies about our lives, our relationships. We're just believing lies. It's like, what is the primary thing going on? What's the big narrative? The Father is pleased with me. He loves me. I'm a son. He loves me. He loves me like he loves his son. It's unthinkable. How can this possibly be true? This is like much bigger than prayed a prayer, got saved. Loved like he loves the Son. That's the way the Father feels about me. That's the way the Father feels about you. If he sent his Son that he loves like that, that he speaks out of heaven, he says, this one, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased, in whom has all my delight. I love this Son. If God was willing to send that Son that he loves so much to die for you, doesn't this communicate to us loudly how much bigger of a deal it is? Like, what's more important, the money or the thing you bought with the money? Like, you spent the money, you got all this money, and then you bought a something. That something has even greater value to you than the money, or you'd have just kept the money. Jesus loves, our Father loves the Son, and he used the Son as a bargaining chip to buy you. He wanted you. He so loves you. This is profound. This is how he thinks. This is how he feels. It's scandalous. How can this possibly be true? He treats us like he treats the Son. He even calls us sons. Look at Galatians 4:6. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. He sent himself to be in you as such a testimony about how he feels about you. Why would he come and live in something he doesn't like or only likes a little? He came to live in you. He sent his Son to come and live in you. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of sonship. He sent the Spirit to testify, to be a constant witness. The Bible is true. Crazy Bible verses like Jesus is telling us that the Father feels about us the way that he feels about the Son. The Holy Spirit inside of us is testifying to these things because we're sons. Because we're sons and daughters of God. This is crazy. I want us to connect his partnership to his love. He's giving us partnership. He gave us his Son. He gave us his Spirit. He lets us partner with his plans. Have you ever one time partnered with his plans? One time. That means you can. But that's what he says about his Son. He says he shows the Son the plans, not so that the Son can just have a long list of plans from God, but so that the Son can partner. You're allowed to partner. He's treating you like he treats his Son. He shows you things in his kingdom, like he gives his Son. If you've ever had one prayer answered one time ever, it's proof that he'll listen to you and he'll move on your behalf, just like he said of his Son. He gives the Son authority, puts things into the hands of the Son in order to accomplish the purposes of the Lord. He gives the Father, gives the Son his own authority so that he might accomplish his purposes. Guys, when you pray and see a prayer answered, it's God treating you like he treats his Son. That's what's happening. This partnership is proof of love. This partnership is profound. This is the way that God feels. I'm going to give you a few more testimonies of the Son. I mean, this, if it's a one-time thing, it would still be the craziest verse that we've ever read. But the fact that Jesus talked about the way God feels about us, talked about the affections of the Father, maybe that's the term, the affections of the Father for you. The fact that God talked about that so frequently, or that Jesus talked about it so frequently, I think is something that we want to pay attention to. As we consider our source here, that where we got this information came from the mouth of the one who is the beloved Son, came from the one from heaven. Jesus prayed. John 17, 20 through 23, it's just a little bit larger kind of blown up piece of that passage. I just want you to see it. The one that we've been looking at, John 17, 20. I pray also for those that will believe in me, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. I in them, you in me, so that they may be, that they may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I want to focus on the intercession point here. Jesus didn't just declare God loves you like he loves Jesus. He prayed you'd understand it. He prayed, I know they need to know this and feel it and believe it. So Father, I ask you, help them to understand that you feel about them the way that you feel about me. It's not just him declaring that it's true. He's actually interceding that you'd understand it, because a truth that you don't know is not so helpful to you. But once you come into the revelation of that truth, especially when it's this crazy lottery winning truth that we just got here, when you come into the revelation that you're a bazillionaire, you spend money different. You're a bazillionaire, friend. God is, his affections are over the top for you. And Jesus prayed, I pray, Father, that you'd help them to understand this truth is real for them. So it's Jesus interceding. Next, and this is an important one. Oh, this is so important, because this does separate those that are loved by the Father, like the Father loves the Son, from those that do not yet have those affections of God. This is an important verse. This one's a big one. John 16:27. The Father himself loves you because you loved me. And you've believed that I've come from God. That's how we get the affections of God like this. You're not born with these affections. You're given these affections when you enter into the same affections for Jesus. When you come to love Jesus, the Father now, all he sees is Jesus. When you love Jesus, the Father loves you. Because, and loves you like he loves Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is now covering you, and you've now entered into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. This is profound. Guys, I remember this happening in my life. I remember being empty inside, though still a loud personality. You better believe Lost Brad was loud. I was loud, but I was empty inside. And I remember giving my life to Jesus. I remember saying, Jesus, I love you, and I believe you came from God. And when that happened, I got filled with the love of God. Something new and dynamic happened. Something that had never occurred before in my life. Something unique, a transaction occurred in the Spirit. I went from being empty inside to now having the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And I promise you, you'll know when it happens. And if you're like, I don't know if that's ever happened, it hadn't happened then. Because if God comes to live inside you, that can't possibly have no effect. If you have never, if you can't point to, I know when God came and lived inside of me. I know when I began to enter into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. If you can't point to that point, it hadn't happened yet. You don't know Jesus. Well, that's okay. You're in a great spot. Give your life to Jesus this morning. It's pretty simple. I mean, it will cost you everything. But it's not a difficult process. The process is very simple. You go, Jesus, I believe you came from the Father. And I love you. Forgive me and help me and lead me. And then the breath of God comes into you and you're a new creature. You're a new creation and life changes for you. Everything changes. Everything. All of a sudden, these messages that a minute ago were just blah, 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 all of a sudden now have meaning and power. Because it's the word of God, not the word of Brad. Who's Brad? The word of God coming out of a person's mouth, but it's God. The word of God now touching your heart, and the Holy Spirit lives inside and he's giving testimony. This is truth. This is truth. It's how you grow in the love of God. Look at John 14:23. This is bizarre. This is another one of those outlandish ways that God loves us. It's just crazy to me that this is how God thinks. He's just sitting around thinking of the most crazy ideas ever, and then he just puts them into practice. It's like, man, I just came up with another one. Let's do it. John 14:23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me. See, there it is again. It's about love. The greatest commandment. about loving Jesus. He says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, because that's how we get the power to obey God's teachings, is we love Jesus. My Father will love them, and check this bizarro idea out. He's going to build a condo inside of you. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. This is different than religion. I don't know what religion is, but this is different than that. God coming inside of me and making a home for God. The architect of all architects coming inside of me, and it's not like he just kind of chisels out a little corner in my heart and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm stuck in here. He comes and he cleans house. And as an architect with brilliant design, he comes and he makes a home inside of us. And it transforms us. And now we're no longer mostly about whatever we were about before. Our personality, our life, our agenda, our objectives. Now, the home of God is in here, and God's in that home. Because we love Jesus, God lives in us. If we don't love Jesus, God doesn't live in us. If we love Jesus, he comes and he lives in us. That's the greatest news ever. God living inside of us as a testimony of the way that he feels about us. Somebody comes and lives in your home, you probably got a strong relationship, or you get one real quick. If they're living in there, he's like, he doesn't even ask. He's like, oh, you love me? Fine, I'm coming, I'm moving in. Well, you know, we don't really have a spare room. It's okay, I'm a carpenter. I know how to do this. I'll make all the rooms I need. I'll come in. Me and the Father, by the way, I'm bringing him. And we will come and make our home in you. This is a transaction of love. This is preposterous. This sounds so much like you actually feel about me the way that you feel about Jesus. Yeah, exactly. The way the Father feels about Jesus is the way that he feels about those that love Jesus. Point of the message, better love Jesus. Let's love him and then love him some more and then figure out how to double the love. Come on, make some home in here. Make it bigger. Knock out the walls. Let's expand this thing. The love of Jesus. John 17, 24. Jesus wants us to be in this revelation, wants us to be in this proximity with the Father, wants us to be with him, doing what he's doing, where he's doing it, with the mentality and the love that he's doing it. Look what he says here, John 17, 24, Father, I want those that you've given me. I want them to be with me where I am and to see my glory. I want them. Those that love Jesus, he wants you. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to see his glory. He wants you to know his purposes. He wants you. You are wanted by God. Do you love Jesus? He wants you. You don't love Jesus? Start loving him for the love of all good things. What are you doing with your life? Why don't you love Jesus yet? Love Jesus. That's the purpose of life. Love Jesus. Everything else is not the purpose of life. Everything else is not why you are on planet Earth. You were put here to love Jesus, so love him. And then you get his love back. It's crazy. It's crazy. He wants you. He chose you. John 15, 16. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. Do you know, if you feel the drawing, the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's not because you're smart. You don't come to God because you're intellectual. You come to God because you feel him choosing you. You feel him leading you. You feel the wisdom of the word of God that says he loves you, and you feel it. You go, I feel like I'm about to make a transaction, a transition from death to life, from not the love of God into the love of God, from having to make all my decisions my own way, being all about my thoughts, my ways, my decisions, to now being his and giving myself to him and being part of the kingdom of the Son that he loves. It says he chose you. Chosen by God. I like it when I get chosen just not last for dodgeball. Just not last. I'll just take anything but not last. You know? Chosen by God on purpose with the whole story in front of him. He chose you. So what if you got fired? I mean, what are we even talking about? So what if you stubbed your toe or the dog ran away? I'm like, God chose you. Why? I have no idea. He chose you. So the kids got colic. It's like, he chose you, Mom. So this thing isn't working out. We're broke. And then we're even more broken after that. Then the car broke down. We're broke. Who cares? You're chosen by God. I mean, guys, our perspective is ridiculous. Our perspective is so, so dumb. It's like, I can't even imagine. It's like a kid in a candy shop, and they're given everything they can eat, and they're mad that they're full and they can't eat more. And that's all they can think about is how mad they are that they can't eat any more candy. I'm so full. I'm so mad. You got a problem. You got a perspective issue. We have a perspective issue. We have put so much of our thought and our hope and our life in our circumstances. It's like your circumstances don't touch this love of God thing. Good day, bad day. Chosen by God. This truth, Romans 10:33. This truth is deep waters. This truth, it's a lifetime of searching out that God loves us, and he loves us like he loves his own son loves us. That kind of love. Paul said it this way. Oh, the depths and the riches, riches, the wisdom of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his ways beyond tracing out. It's deep. It's so deep. It's so true. Deep Christ, deep. It's the deepest deeps. It's so deep. It's so rich. It's so unbelievable. It's unsearchable. Oh, the depths of this knowledge. The knowledge of God. God is love. The depths of the knowledge of the God who is love. The depths of the knowledge of the kingdom that's the kingdom of the Son that he loves. The riches of the love of God. If we're bored, we're not thinking about the right stuff. The depths of these riches, of these truths, unsearchable. You could spend a lifetime, scratch the surface, and spend a lifetime and scratch that surface. Because the scratched surface will be like a river flowing out of you, the revelation, the abundance, the joy. But it's not enough to just know it. I'll say this. I think this is my opinion. I can't think of anything that compares to this. I think this is the single most profound truth in the whole Bible, that God loves me like he loves Jesus. I can't think of anything more profound than that. I can't, that is, I don't even know. It's just, I can't even imagine. He loves me like he loves the Son. It's unsearchable. We want to fully embrace this reality. It's not enough that we would hear the words. We want to embrace it. Ephesians 3:16-17. This is Paul who I think had a measure of understanding about this point. And he's praying it. The thing that he was just doting about in Romans, he goes, oh, the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God. Now he's interceding. Look at Ephesians 3:16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, it's the same glorious riches. It's the God that loves out of the abundance of his heart. It's the God who loves us like he loves the Son. It's that. I pray that out of the glorious riches, that he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I pray that he would give you strength in your inner being. Strength to what? Work real hard? Strength to build stuff? What's this strength for? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you'd be rooted and established in love. I pray for you to have power to receive God's love. I pray for you to have power to be loved, power to receive the revelation, power to understand the depths of these riches. Friends, we need power to unlock our minds and our hearts. We need power to pull back the veil, to see the kingdom, to see life the way that it truly is. We want to spend a lifetime embracing this reality. Not just hearing it, going on the journey. God, give me power to understand it. Give me power to do it, to live it, to believe it, to receive it. Give me power. Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus to have power to get it. Power that it would be real and manifest in their life and in their heart. If Paul prayed for Ephesus and Ephesus was having revival, you and I need prayer. You and I need to recognize these grand truths have to be embraced, have to be fought for the understanding. Right now, some of you are even hearing this. It's like, it's not quite clicking. You need to be praying even right now, God, give me revelation of your love. Give me revelation. And that prayer never grows old because you can't ever get enough of it. No matter how much revelation of God's love you have, you need more because it's fuel to love him back. When you know that you're loved, you live different. Just think about your, for whatever circumstance, you wind up going to a city that's not your own, and you're going to stay with somebody that either you don't know or someone who loves you like crazy, loves you like whoa. And you move into their house for a few months, you sit on the couch different. I mean, you sit on the couch different at that place that you don't know real well. In fact, you just kind of stick it to your room. But the place that you know you're loved, you go out there, you put your feet up on the couch, you take your shoes off, and you just let your tootsies wiggle in the air. Whatever candy is sitting on their counter, you eat it. I mean, you live different when you know you're loved. Guys, we need a revelation of how God feels about us so that we'll live different. That we'll live in that revelation, that freedom, that beauty. Look at it this way. This is the last verse I'll give you and we'll close out. 1 John 4:16. So we know and rely on the love God has for us. We rely on the love God has for us. Let your life mostly be about relying on the love God has for you. You love Jesus, so you got everything. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. And God in them lives in love. Can I give you a challenge? Make your life about living in love. Living in God's love. Remember, we just read it. We rely on the love God has for us. We rely on it. We make our life about the love that God has for us. And then we figure out how to live in that love. Make decisions from that love. Change our attitude by that love. Deal with our kids with that love. Live in the love. Live in it. Not live in anger. Not live in the moment. Don't live in the moment. Live in the love. Live in love. Live in the love of God. Make the decisions in the moment from the love of God. Make decisions. Live in love. If that term seems so bizarre, you're like, I don't even know what the heck you're saying. Sounds so parabolic. I don't know what to do with that. Go on a journey and figure it out. Don't be content to hear weird words and then go, oh, no, I'm just, praise the Lord, I'm going on. Get the revelation. Go after it. What does it mean to live in love? To live in God's love. To rely on his love and then live in it. Because he says this, when you do that, then God lives in you. God is manifesting himself in you even in those moments where you're learning to live in the love that you're relying on, not on your own love, not on your own awesomeness. You ain't that awesome, but he is. And as we love him, and as we live in that love, we get to experience joy beyond measure. We get to experience life to the fullest. Everything makes sense and has meaning and power. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, is totally impossible outside of the love of God. So we've got to grow in this understanding. Like Paul prayed, I pray that you would have power in your soul, in your inner man, to know his love and then to be rooted in it, to be established in it. Because if you're rooted and established in it, then you can live in it. If you've got that root system, if you've dwelt on it, if you've meditated on the love of God, well, then it starts to get in you. And now you've got a system that you can then begin to process and make decisions out of. You can begin to process life, perspective, moments. Terrible things happen, but you begin to process them living in love. Guys, this is what we were made for. This is the real version of humanity. This is the real point of earth and life and everything, is to learn that God loves us like he loves his son, and then we would grow in that love and be able to live our lives out of that, and then also offer him a sacrifice of that love reflected back to him. I just want to encourage you, meditate on the Father loving you like he loves the son, and ask him for power to understand it and believe it.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.